The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo, reporting to you live from the Tribe Accelerator, which is the Singaporean government-backed accelerator for blockchain technologies. In this week's tech news, I have two very important follow-up topics if you've been listening regularly to the show. First up is the FTC levied their largest fine for a data breach ever. It's about $300 million to the FTC and about $700 million overall. If you're a consumer and was affected by the FTC data breach of the Equifax data breach, go to our website, svn.biz, to figure out how you can claim some of that money. And then later in the week, in even bigger news, Facebook was levied an even bigger fine by the FTC of $5 billion. And it doesn't really tell you how you can get your money if you were affected, but $5 billion eclipses the FTC fine of Equifax, and also Mark Zuckerberg has personal sanctions against him, as well as Facebook has to set up an independent privacy committee with the board of directors and have independent auditors checking on them regularly. And that's extremely big news. The last topic is, if you're into real estate, and I've been talking about real estate tech, Realogy and Amazon just announced a partnership where you can now buy homes using Amazon as a portal. What's in it for Amazon is cross-selling drapes, blinds, faucets, appliances, and what's in it for Realogy, a new channel that goes different to the traditional real estate industry. If you want to know more about disruptive tech in real estate, look up our past episodes on Real Estate Consortia. And that's the tech news of the week. Joining me today is Ming Un, the managing partner of Tribe out of Singapore, and Tiffany Xinyu Wang, who is the venture partner. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you so much, Keith.
Hi.
So it's been a really great day in San Francisco so far. Thanks for kicking off the show, Ming. Can you tell me your background and how you got involved with the Tribe Accelerator?
So I started after college working for Lazada, which is a e-commerce marketplace in Singapore and Southeast Asia that has already got acquired for Alibaba. Then I went on to do some startups and then went on to do VCs. And I think through this experience, we saw a lot more developments in the blockchain space over the last couple of years. And we felt that there was a huge gap in the space, which was that there were a world of traditional corporates and there was a world of blockchain companies, where traditional corporates are often skeptical of blockchain companies because of the speculative nature of cryptocurrencies. So a lot of time, Bitcoin, blockchain, crypto are all lumped as one, which is speculative or things that are dodgy or scammy by nature itself. So we wanted to solve this, to bring people closer together and to understand what this technology can really bring forward in terms of innovation and solving problems on a real-world basis, instead of talking about the nature of volatility of cryptocurrencies. So because we come from a traditional lens in venture capital, we see blockchain, AI, machine learning as technologies to power businesses. So if it makes sense to use AI or machine learning to power business, so be it. If it makes sense to use an application to run on the smartphone to power your business, so be it. Like, so to us, blockchain is a back-end technology, and that's how we look at it. And this is why we started out finding interesting problems that people are solving, from things like authentication of luxury goods to tracking of halal food products from farm to table, things startups like that that are championing innovative applied problems into a single tribe accelerator batch. And then we offered them resources from global corporates, like we partnered up with BMW Group Asia, Intel, Nielsen, PwC, and so on and so forth, as well as top-tier blockchain companies like Consensus, R3, IBM, to help these startups really grow, as well as to offer them the support of the various government agencies in Singapore. And this, all in all, fostering a neutral community where, in today's market, it's something that is not found. Because every top-tier companies or every blockchain companies or even funds, accelerators, are all driving towards different agendas. But it's, I think this is a technology that requires collaboration in order to work, because the network needs to be have more collaboration in order to make it more robust. And this is why we are doing this, and this is where we are at right now.
Thanks, Ming. And I think that's really important. Even when I've talked on the show that we've gotten into blockchain several years ago, it is important to understand, because there's still this concept of, as you mentioned, people think of it as speculative, as cryptocurrency. And really, blockchain, once you get past that, is another emerging technology, and the ability to companies to adopt it. You mentioned a lot of great brands, BMW, Intel. On our show, we've had Jerry Cuomo of IBM, the founder of Hyperledger for the IBM side. We've had John Wolpert, who's one of the founders of Hyperledger, one of the founders of Consensus. And we've had Dr. Vanila Singh and Dr. John Madison, who promote blockchain internationally as something that can sell real problems in the healthcare industry. So thanks again for explaining what Tribe is doing and your participation in that. Then Tiffany, I wanted to really move into, how do venture partners look at both the technology blockchain, but also in how your involvement with Tribe, why were you so interested?
Yeah, thank you. So I will start very quickly my background and lead to why my experiences lead me to this decision to work with Tribe, and believe that is the right platform for the emerging technologies, especially for blockchain. So I spent my first part of career in Africa and Southeast Asia, so really investing oil and gas, metals mining infrastructure, right? So back then I was advising governments. So in those emerging and frontier markets, what I saw was not only the untapped opportunities, you know, to invest in, because there was so little there. So there was huge market, and the big levers you can pull using a little bit of technology, but really drive a lot of growth and impact. And another thing I also noticed was the power of the top-down approach. As we have direct access to the government and really influence from the private sectors on the policies, you can very much use your knowledge power to impact what the government is going to shape the policies and shape the environment to drive technologies investments. So that's my first part of career, give me that experiences. Now, since I moved to U.S., I focused on investment in deep tech. So we're talking about, as Yiming said, you know, AI machine learning, you know, quantum computing, and the blockchain. So those are the three spaces I focused on. That led me to also a realization is that if we believe deep tech will be realized from this point onward, 20 years, you know, what are actually the roadblocks? And all, in other words, what could be the facilitators to really bring us to that point of realization? And one of the things is the policy heavens. You know, you actually do need the environment for a very efficient testing bets. And the Singapore government has done a tremendously wonderful job to create that environment. So if we want blockchain to succeed as a technology, and we need an environment like that to drive favorable policies and really gather the Fortune 500 corporations together to give the startup the chance to test their technologies and to really drive the adoption. So these two experiences about markets and about deep tech investments lead me to really believing what Tribe offers. It is a platform where they can gather the government support and big corporations to help the deep tech to grow, not only in Asia, but globally.
I would once again like to thank Ming Un and Tiffany Xingyu Wang of the Tribe Accelerator out of Singapore. Coming up next, we're going to continue talking to Tiffany. So don't go away. Any questions or comments, email us at info@sfan.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I am your host, Keith Koo. Today, I'm covering the Tribe Accelerator Global Demo Tour, which finished here at the Orange Venture Capital offices in San Francisco. And previously, they had hit Singapore, Shanghai, and Seoul. Tribe Accelerator is the first government blockchain accelerator in the world. They had 10 companies in the latest batch. In the first segment, we had Un Yi Ming, who is the managing partner of Tribe, as well as Tiffany Xingyu Wang, who is a venture partner. Coming up in this segment, we will be having Tiffany talking more about the importance of blockchain to the Singaporean government and how other governments can adopt the approach.
I think what was very interesting, Singapore as a city-state, that do you think that there's advantages that governments like the United States and parts of Western Europe can leverage off of how you're able to be nimble in adopting a technology like blockchain?
So you're asking about other states to adopt the same approach that Singapore government uses. So I would take a step back to think about what are the key elements why Singapore has been successful. So I think in the talk by the EDB official just now at the demo day, so he mentioned, Singapore is like a startup. Right. So in other words, it has very, very limited resources. And remember this principle about the lean startup. Right. We have seen other hubs, all over the world, not mentioning which part of the world. Right. They have abundant resources, and then they dump that resources into the space, and then didn't have a really positive outcome coming out of it. So I think instead of saying, do I really see other parts of the world can do the same thing as efficiently as Singapore has done, I'd rather say what makes Singapore successful is this lean startup methodology as a startup would have done. And let me be precise. That means you stay lean, you're efficient, you're effective, you attract the best talents ever. Singapore officials run the scholar program, so they really attract the best talents to work for the government. They leverage the private sectors the best way they can, like Tribe, right? This is the people who work at Tribe are the most brilliant, investors or business operators I've met globally. So I think if you get talents, you run lean startup methodology as you work as a government, you stand a good chance to offer actually your society and the private sectors to grow the environment for emerging technologies' future.
That's a fascinating comparison. I haven't yet heard. I mean, obviously in Silicon Valley, we hear a lot about the Lean Startup Method by Eric Ries, but I hadn't heard it applied in a government setting, especially because of very large government hierarchy in many parts of the world. But back to the Singapore being lean and nimble, that's an amazing description of the culture and the society. So in terms of having the most brilliant folks involved with this, how does somebody get involved? How would investors hear more about Tribe? How would they learn about where they can get plugged in?
So they can firstly definitely visit our website or our LinkedIn and Facebook, which is tribeaccelerator.co. And I think happy for them to reach out to us if they have any questions that they are interested to know or how can they plug into the Southeast Asia ecosystem. More than happy to chat and share about it together with my colleagues as well as Tiffany.
Yeah, I'm based in San Francisco. So, if you are a U.S. investor or a startup who want to get involved. I'm very, very happy to get connected through this radio show and a talk with you about Tribe and to see how you can get involved in this this ecosystem.
Thanks again to Tiffany Wong, venture partner of Tribe. If you have any questions or comments, email us at info@svn.biz and I'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
I wanted to wrap up today's show by thanking Tribe, the first government-backed blockchain accelerator in the world out of Singapore. I also want to once again talk about how excited I am that blockchain is more than a cryptocurrency. It's a technology, and for the right use cases, we're seeing more and more adoption throughout many industries, and there's interest all over the world, not just in Singapore, but as well as Israel, Brazil, Western Europe, and of course, the United States. If you have any questions or comments about Tribe or any of the companies you heard on today, please email us at info@svn.biz. You can also learn about Tribe's next batch. Don't go away. We'll be right back with The Pivot.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your hosts, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. Once again, I'm at the Tribe Accelerator event. Tribe Accelerator is the Singaporean government-backed blockchain accelerator, and the event is here in San Francisco at Orange Silicon Valley. Joining me again is Tiffany Xingyu Wong, who is a venture partner with Tribe. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Keith.
And Tiffany and I are now on The Pivot. So, Tiffany, with the experience you've had, we've covered it through the show, what is one of the takeaways you want to leave with the listener?
One of my investment thesis is the technification of services verticals in Southeast Asia. So that's what I want the audience to take away.
And what is technification?
Yeah, so as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, the Southeast Asian governments really have demonstrated the approach to run the government efficiently, to give a favorable policy environment for technology adoption. So if you are a startup and if you are aiming at one of the services verticals that matter to the population, and let's take an example, transport was the first services vertical which was disrupted. And obviously the example was Grab. Right, and then you see the difference how Grab has grown versus how Uber and Lyft have grown in the U.S., the market size. Because of the environment the government is supportive of, you have seen Grab has grown in the market at a speed and at a velocity that you could not have imagined for another company in another market.
Yeah. And Grab is the dominant ride-sharing provider in Singapore.
Southeast Asia.
In all of Southeast Asia.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that was the first vertical which has been disrupted, and coming with it was Grab.
And just curious, how did they beat out Uber and Lyft with all the investment that Uber and Lyft make into these markets?
Yeah, well, I think that we would have another podcast, you know, specifically about the thesis,
sure.
And I have so much to talk about that. And, you know, but I think on a high level, I would say, as much as to win the U.S. markets, it is a very different approach from the right to win in Asia. It's just the market, how the consumers have been educated, shaped differently from the U.S. consumers. So I think the local market knowledge is definitely the thing you have to be aware of. And you also have to be aware of how to really work with the governments, right? Those are the facilitators. Those are the supporters of yours. But if you don't go with them, you also actually set yourself in trouble, right? So understand the consumers and also understand the governments. That would be my advice for any startup who want to succeed in Asian markets. So I think that the first part, any successful U.S. company has done very well, right? And the second part, which is not as it is very important, But it never really see, for example, in most of the pitch decks, in most of the investment pitch have been, people will specifically talk about how we work with government agencies, how we actually get over the regulation barriers, and how we actually work with regulators, and to make that an advantage for us, rather than here where you should say, oh, you know, how we work around it. You know, it's a two different mentality. So I think that's what Grab has done very well. You know, they understand the local market so well, but they also have worked very well, you know, to make regulation more be a promoter and facilitator rather than really a blocker.
And I think that's an excellent point, just because we talk about a lot, especially in the background I have in technology risk with large enterprises, that a lot of the Silicon Valley, they believe that the secret to the success or past success was basically the lack of regulations and the things that they're developing. But now, because of fintech, health tech, reg tech, insure tech, and blockchain, it goes hand in hand. And we can really see that with Facebook entering, quote-unquote, the cryptocurrency market with the Libra Consortium. So I think the point you made is an excellent one.
Yeah, and this whole thesis about technification of services verticals in Southeast Asia was obviously demonstrated by Grab and the transport vertical, but I think the two next verticals I personally believe in and care about, one is logistics, right? The other is payment. And again, we will see who will be the winners. And you also see, you know, the two prerequisites for being a winner would be, you know, if you know how local people pay so differently compared to other markets, and really make the usability part, you know, so close and personable with the local markets. And another prerequisite is how you actually work the existing players. How do you really work with banks? How do you really work with card issuers? How do you actually work with other logistic, you know, stakeholders in the value chain? And both are as big as the transport industry, and they are as impactful, untapped. A little bit technology can do a lot in those markets. That's what I don't see in the U.S. markets, because it is a developed market. But over there, you can make a lot of impact and therefore a lot of return if you do that right. So I think that, coming back to, you know, the beginning, you know, of my answer to you, I think the takeaway is really about this thesis of this coming trend of technification of service verticals in Southeast Asia.
Well, thanks, Tiffany. I'm definitely going to have you to come back on the show and do a longer segment on this, because as we can see with the recent Senate hearings with Facebook and Libra, you're exactly right. Both the government and small and large are trying to figure out what the next wave is. So thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you, everyone.
So you're listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo, finishing up with Tiffany Xingyu Wang, a venture partner with the Tribe Accelerator out of Singapore, but she's a local here in San Francisco. Any questions or comments, email us at info@svin.biz.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.